kind of brought to tears this morning. Just contemplating the mighty works of our Heavenly Father, our Almighty Elohim, and the songs that we've been singing this morning about Sabbath, are point on the Sabbath day is the day that I was called out upon, not on that day, but it was about the Sabbath, that Yahweh reached down and touched me. And said three simple words. Honor my Sabbath. And I had no idea what lay in store for me with those three simple words that were engraved on my heart. He changed me in that moment. He changed my heart to love Him and to honor His ways, many of which I didn't understand at the time. But He changed me in that moment. It wasn't volcanic action. It wasn't fireworks. It wasn't a raging fire. It was a calm, sweet voice. It simply made me a new man. Made me know how important the Sabbath day was. Honor my Sabbath, He said to me. And at that moment I determined that from Friday night to Saturday night, sundown, I would devote all my time to reading the Scripture, praying and singing. And in that time that I set that time aside, Yahweh's Spirit enlivened me, quickened me, to read more powerfully, more deeply than I've ever read before. Before, I succumbed to the idea that those who were preaching from the pulpit knew much more than I did. Because, after all, they'd been to school. And I allowed myself to prevent myself from reading Scripture to see what was there. And I see how foolish those thoughts were. Because in the Word of Yahweh is life. In the Word of Yahweh is direction. In the Word of Yahweh is peace. In the Word of Yahweh is love. Love that reaches far beyond anything that we can come up with of our own. In the Word of Yahweh is the Spirit that He would have us obey and take into our own. And so here we are on this Sabbath day, the day that Yahweh has set aside for the worship of the Almighty. I love the songs we sing. It speaks of the love. It speaks also of the warning that there is in the Scripture. And today I'm presenting the third part in the series, To the Law and to the Testimony. The law being the word given to Moses by Yahweh, and the testimony, the blessings for obedience and the warning and consequences for disobedience to the law of Yahweh. So far, we have covered the first seven verses of Exodus 20. which make up the first three of the Ten Commandments, which teach us that Yahweh is the only creator. It teaches us that we do not submit to false deities and do not ruin the name of Yahweh. In these first three, Yahweh has spoken of himself. In the fourth commandment, which we're going to speak about today, Yahweh impresses upon us the importance of the day that he set aside for us to worship him upon. He is the one who is in control of the universe and does not equivocate over details. He is perfect in his mercy, and he is perfect in his judgment, and makes straight the path to eternal life. Those who wander from it will find themselves in a wilderness of beasts, laying in wait for their unsuspecting prey. Do not be deceived. There are many who defy and who defile the word of Yahweh for their personal gain, for their power, for their glory, and for their riches. They have enticing ways to draw the naive to them, for they make life sound easy and simple, making promises that they cannot keep. Promises that are designed to lull the mind into complacency, false security, and ignorance. Do not be deceived by them. Let Yahweh be true, and every man a liar, says Shaul, Paul, in Romans 3:4. That was when I was called out. That was the first verse that the Spirit of Yahweh showed me. Let Yahweh be true and every man a liar. That means you must treat me as a liar too. You must consider that I may not be telling you the truth, but you should go and check and see if it's true. Okay? The Spirit showed me that verse, and in that verse, I knew that I had to set aside everything that I'd been taught, everything from the mouth of man, and I had to read the Scripture for what it said, not what men said about it. Paul himself was deceived by men who were looking out for themselves and not for the namesake of Yahweh. Paul fell into murderous schemes against the children of Yahweh, his precious inheritance, who submit to the law of Yahweh and believe on the mighty works of Yahshua, the manifestation of Yahweh, and the only begotten Son of Yahweh, Yahshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, if you would. The book of Revelation in chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Which reads in the King James, here is the patience of the saints. In the Revised Standard Version, it says, here is a call for the endurance of the saints. And it goes on, those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. So it's twofold. The commandment here is twofold. Who keep the commandments of Yahweh, the Ten Commandments, and who believe in the works of Yahshua Messiah. We know that Pentecost is coming up. And if we look in the Scripture, we find that on the day of Pentecost is when Moses received the law of Yahweh. And when we read in the New Testament, we discover that on Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament, the same day that Moses received the law, the disciples of Yahshua received the Spirit. And here's confirmation in the book of Revelation that makes a call to the saints, those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. Verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in Yahweh henceforth. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, the mind of Yahweh, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." And here it is. As much as churchianity says that you cannot work your way to heaven, which doesn't exist anyway, I mean, except for Yahweh and Yahshua, who sits at the right hand of Yahweh. That in the kingdom, the works that we do here, the good works, the obedience that we show to the law of Yahweh, those who come to worship Yahweh on the Sabbath day that He set apart, and those that follow the Messiah, their works will follow them into the kingdom. And I'm assuming that those who do the works of Yahweh and believe in Yahshua will be in the first resurrection. They will be the judges. They will be the leaders. They will be the teachers. They will be the healers in the kingdom. And they will preach the word of Yahweh to those who don't know the truth. Revelation 14 and 12 is a call to the faithful to persevere, to cheerfully endure and reject the temptations offered by the flesh of this world. For the flesh speaks lies, even in the name of righteousness, even in the name of Yahweh. We see it. People using Yahweh's name and defiling it by offering lies and wizardry and sorcery. The flesh teaches against the law of Yahweh. The flesh proposes and preaches false names, false days of worship, false celebrations, and false authority. Brothers and sisters, we must hold on to the plow of Yahweh. We must hold on to the plow of Yahweh to work the fields. To work the fields with straight furrows. We must plant the seeds of righteousness and nourish the soil with solid truth. And we must continue to refresh our crop with life-giving water, pure and crystal clear water, straight from the throne of Yahweh. And we must set aside those things which offer us idle pleasure, or else our crops will fail through the lack of attention. And when it comes time for the harvest, will there be abundance? Or will there be a harbinger of famine? I hope it'll be the former. We must tend the fields.
Yesterday, on my way to work, actually as I arrived at work, I was there early. And as I entered the hospital grounds, I walked past one of the security personnel, a huge hulk of a man, who I knew familiarly, and who was sitting on a short concrete wall reading a small book I recognized as the New Testament. I stopped in my tracks spontaneously and walked back to him without thinking about it. I just walked over and asked what chapter, what he was reading. And he said, the book of Revelation. I smiled inside and asked what chapter and verse. And he said, chapter 2. Ah, I said, where Yahshua is speaking to the representatives of the assemblies outside of Jerusalem? And he said, yeah. I asked, what does he say to the assemblies there? He stumbled a bit. So I said, it's very interesting that he says to each assembly, I know your works. And I asked him, what do you think that means? And he proceeded to describe doing things to help others out. And I said, from my understanding, Yahshua is referring to the good works of the law. You know, the Ten Commandments. And he said, oh yeah, the Ten Commandments. But I explained that most people will say they obey the Ten Commandments. But I asked him, do they really? How about number 3? Do you keep that one? He didn't know what it was. So I explained to him, and he immediately said, oh yeah, Yahweh. He understood, you know, the church that he goes to did recognize that name. But then he said, but well, we use, well, you know. And I said, yeah, I know. And I said, how about number 4? He asked if that was about murder. No. I said, loving parents? Loving your parents? No. I quoted it to him. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work, but on the 7th day... you shall rest on your rest from your work. Then I asked, you know what the 7th day is, don't you? And he said, Sunday? I looked at him with a smile and said, no. Then he said, oh, it's Monday. Then he said, I don't know. I said, I explained that it's what we have come to call Saturday. From Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Then he asked, but hasn't that changed? No, I said, it has not changed. But don't take my word for it. Paul said in Romans 3:4, let Yahweh be true and every man a liar. So you must treat me as a liar. And he interrupted me, saying, and go look it up for myself. And I smiled and said, yeah. By that time, we had already started walking to his destination on the way to my office. And he indicated that he might have questions later. Well, how many times have I heard that before? But perhaps Yahweh will shine his light upon him. And maybe he will come into the truth. So if you see me walking in with this huge guy.
In front of
Among the most perplexing, famishing schemes of mankind is the abomination of false worship. Worship which flies in the face of the commandments of Yahweh. So how does the Creator of the universe, Yahweh Almighty, direct us to worship Him? Well, if you wish to turn to Exodus 20 and verse 8, and if someone has a Kleenex, I would appreciate it. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Okay, I can breathe. Exodus 20 and 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day." In Hebrew, that is called Yom HaShabbat. "To keep it holy, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh Elohecha." We would read that probably, Yahweh our Elohim, but the word in Hebrew is Elohecha. "In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Sanctified it, blessed it, set it apart. There's a similar verse in Deuteronomy 5, starting at verse 12. It says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as Yahweh Elohecha commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh Elohecha. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. That your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh Elohecha brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh Elohecha, Yahweh our Elohim, commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." I looked at these two verses, and I never really paid attention to how different they were. In the first place, in Exodus 20, verse 8, there's the first word is the word "remember," which is number 2142 in the Strong's, "sakor," meaning to mark so as to be recognized or to make mention, to think upon it, and of course, to remember, to keep it, to hold on to it. As I was unfolding this information, it occurred to me that the intent of this commandment is to tell others about this day, the day that Yahweh set aside for us to worship Him. And it blesses me to realize that I am blessing Yahweh by marking, by making mention of the Sabbath day to my friend. The first word in Deuteronomy 5:12 is the word, in English, "observe." And that's a different word than the word in Exodus. That word is number 8104, "shamor," meaning to hedge about as with thorns, that is, to guard, to protect, attend to be circumspect, to take heed to oneself, to keep, to mark, to look narrowly, to observe, to preserve, to regard, to save oneself, to lay wait for, to watch. And it also, in other places, refers to a watchman. So here we have something that is very, very protected. In Deuteronomy, it feels almost like a warning. Look out! Here comes the Sabbath. How important a message is this if it implies or even directly demands a warning? Verse 15 in Deuteronomy says, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh Elohecha brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh Elohecha commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This honors Yahweh for rescuing his children from captivity. Verse 11 in Exodus, in chapter 20, in verse X, in Exodus 20, verse 11, makes reference to what? Here it is. Verse 11 in chapter 20 of Exodus. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It's different. The one in Exodus honors the creation that Yahweh created, the heavens and the earth, and created the seventh day. In Deuteronomy, his salvation is honored. It's to be protected. He brought us out of captivity. He sent his spirit to us to worship him on the Sabbath day. So we were created and we were saved. And these two verses that talk about Sabbath speak of creation and speak of salvation. I mean, for me, it's the central theme of Scripture that surrounds the Sabbath day. In the book of Mark, let me just read this one sentence to you. In the book of Mark, chapter 2 and verse 27, says, Yahshua said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So, therefore, the Son of Man is sovereign even of the Sabbath. So, how does Yahshua come to this conclusion? How does he say this? So now I'm going to ask you to go to Mark chapter 2 and verse 23. Mark chapter 2 and verse 23. Mark 2:23 says, and it happened that he, being Yahshua, was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need? And he and his companions became hungry. How he entered the house of Elohim in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests. And he also gave it to those who were with him. is Joshua saying here? That it's okay to disregard the law of Yahweh? Heaven forbid. How could that be? How could it be that he would disobey the law of Yahweh and eat the consecrated bread, gave it to David? Because, in the first place, for Joshua to sin once in his trek here on earth would render him unjustified as the propitiation for our sins, having held up his hand against the will of his father. That cannot be. Joshua did not break the Sabbath. And when he tells the story of David eating the consecrated bread, he is not advocating that we break that law. No. Joshua nor his disciples did anything that was unlawful. Then why did the Pharisees say, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? The answer is that the Pharisees were not referring to the law of Yahweh. They were referring to their laws. Laws that they had established with the same pen that wrote that mankind must not speak the name of Yahweh. They were referring to their laws, of which Joshua spoke in Mark 7, verse 4. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders? Here they're being a little bit more truthful. But eat with hands defiled. And he said to them, Well, did Isaiah prophesy to you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. You leave the commandment of Yahweh and hold fast the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of Yahweh in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And he who speaks evil of his father or mother, let him surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained for me is korban, that is, given to Elohim, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of Yahweh through your tradition, which you hand on, which you give down to your children. And he concludes, and many such things you do. The real message that Joshua was giving to the Pharisees, who accused him of harvesting on Sabbath, was that we can count on the mercy of Yahweh when we are in obedience to his word. The priest was forgiven for feeding David's men with showbread from the sanctuary in exactly the same manner that we shall be forgiven of our sins. If we are doing Yahweh's will, the Pharisees were writing over the word of Yahweh. And they paid so much attention to their laws that they had forgotten Yahweh's law. Joshua called them hypocrites, which the Greek word for is actors. They were merely acting as righteous individuals, having shunned Yahweh's righteousness, and they built up their own foundations according to their laws. David and his men were forgiven because they were obedient to Yahweh. David was Yahweh's anointed. How is the Sabbath day important to Yahweh? Exodus 31 and verse 12. Exodus 31 and verse 12 says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign. For it is a sign between me," Yahweh speaking, "and you throughout your generations. As long as man exists, it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. It is set apart for you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy, set apart to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Interesting, wouldn't you say? I've heard people speak about this phrase, saying things like, "How could he have needed to rest? After all, he's the Creator." And when I heard people saying these things, I kind of assumed that it was true. Makes sense. Someone who can create the whole universe, I mean, how much energy do they have? Yes, Yahweh is all-powerful. And who knows how many universes he may have created, or is creating even as we contemplate this notion. Still, is it not true that we were created in the image of Yahweh and Yahshua? Is it also not true that all of the emotions that we experience can be found in the writings of Scripture as descriptions of Yahweh's emotions? Does he not get angry and want to annihilate mankind? In fact, did he not do so, except for Noah's family? Does he not experience jealousy, affection, love, hate? No, we have in our Creator a likeness that someday, I suspect, will be quite revealing. Yes, we will see the wrath of Yahweh, hopefully as witnesses to the destruction of those who hated Yahweh and who loved the flesh. And we who trust in Yahweh and call upon His set-apart name. Shall see His mercy, His loving kindness, and his forgiveness. Again, and still hopefully, but as recipients of such love and devotion to his children, that any father, any human father who truly loves his children would show. So I would ask you, what does that look like to you? To be loved by our Heavenly Father. May all that we can imagine about his kindness, about his faithfulness, about his love for us and his sacrifice for us be brought forth in our relationships with those around us. Here now, so that when the teacher and father shows us his face and wipes away our tears, may we know that he is Yahweh and that we are his children. May Yahweh bless us all. Hallelujah.